All right, our gospel lesson today is going to be Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 27. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired, and Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away, sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Let's pray. God, I pray that you would allow your Spirit to come down on me now and to speak through my voice and through the words that I have prepared, and that I would speak on open and listening hearts, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I hear this passage, and the first thing I think is, yeah, Jesus, you tell that rich guy. Because I'm like, man, as a population, as Americans, we look at the rich and we think, man, I don't like them. But it's not because we don't want to be like them. We see them and we think, they get to buy boats, they get to buy airplanes, private islands, they get to have TVs in their room. That's the definition of rich for me. I don't know about you guys. We love it when Jesus sticks it to the rich guy. We're like, yeah, take that. I think it's funny, though, the rich young ruler. Rulers are defined in that time and for thousands of years afterwards by what they owned, specifically the land that they owned, how much of it, and what they could do with it. If you were rich, then you didn't have to grow crops on your land. You could have land for the sake of having land. Look at Louis XIV of France, who built Versailles, one of the crazy, most opulent houses in the world. He had grass that was just grass. He's the guy that invented the front lawn. And what are front lawns now? Well, I was thinking about this, and the only thing we really use front yards for, at least at our house, is a place to put the trash cans for the garbage man to pick them up. We don't really use it for anything other than that. Front yards have become a status symbol of sorts in American culture. If you have a front yard, you're living the American dream. I say, if you have a front yard, maybe you are the rich young ruler. So, in my humble opinion, and maybe it's just because I don't want to mow the grass, we don't need front yards. But what do we need? We have stuff that we need. We need food, right? And at my house, there's plenty of food. We have a fridge and a freezer that are stocked full. There's cereal boxes stacked on top and cabinets on cabinets full of ramen noodle soup. And you need shelter to keep you out of the elements. And we have, you know, I have my own room, which is pretty awesome. Not everybody has that. We have a guest room for when Mackenzie wants to come visit. And we have a whole basement dedicated to keeping Dad's paperwork dry. And we also need clothes because we can't be running around outside naked, right? I have, you know, a fair amount of clothes. Not enough long pants, apparently. But I also have 127 t-shirts. I counted. That's a lot of t-shirts. Now, to be fair, some of those were free. Some of those are from bands. Some of them are from scouts. I accrued a lot of t-shirts over the years. I was reading a book about a month ago called Seven by Jen Hatmaker, who describes it as, quote, a radical rebellion against excess. For 7 months of her life, she took each month, and 1 month she cut back on the amount of food she ate. 1 month she cut back on the amount of electronics and social media that she consumed. 1 month she cut back on the number of businesses that she spent her money on. The month that impressed me the most was the month where she wore only 7 articles of clothing. Not 7 outfits, mind you, 7 articles of clothing for an entire month. And we're talking about a lady who speaks in front of thousands of women every year, inspiring them to become better Christians. And she wore 7 articles of clothing for an entire month. And she described the experience as freeing. She said, "Nobody ever commented on my clothes, except for positive things. The only people who knew that I was only wearing 7 articles of clothes were my closest friends. That's because I was bragging about it the whole time." So if this lady who is speaking in front of people, thousands and thousands of people every year, can go through an entire month with just 7 articles of clothing, why do I need 127 t-shirts? We have too much stuff that we're not going to use. We have spares, just in case the first thing breaks, and spares for the spare, in case the spare breaks. And we have a fourth spare, because even numbers are good. So, what does the Bible say about that stuff? In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, the Bible tells us not to store up treasures on earth, where rust can destroy and moths will eat away. So, sorry about your fancy car, that's going to get rusted eventually. And sorry about your fancy clothes, but the moths are going to eat holes in that. We will need to store up treasures in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that you have to do lots of good things to get into heaven. The only way, and I mean the only way to get into heaven, is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to talk to me afterwards, and I will tell you all about how you can come to accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But right now, I'm talking to those people that already have it. And a lot of preachers out there will say, once you've accepted God, God's going to give you everything you want. He's going to give you that flat-screen plasma television. He's going to get you a Ferrari. He's going to get you a house with 17 bathrooms and 2 pools. But that's the prosperity gospel, and that's just not right. That's all gimme, 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 and I'm here to tell you, no. That's actually exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. I would say that if you have stuff that you hold on to but you don't use, that's a sin, and the Bible agrees. In fact, I would go as far as to call it stealing. Let me tell you what the Bible says. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11, it says, "If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The 7th year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you need not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." So whether you vote Trump or whether you vote Hillary, and whether or not their economic plans work to stop poverty in America, the Bible says very clearly there will always be poor people in the land. So therefore, be open-fisted, be open-hearted with your stuff, with the extra food you have, with the extra clothes you have, with the extra space that you have. We all have our own 127 t-shirts. I'm sure not everybody out there is that specific, but there's some area in our lives where we have stuff, and we're like, I might need that eventually, maybe. But out there are people who need stuff more. There are homeless widows and orphans who have one shirt to their name, and maybe they want to wash that shirt, but they can't just go around without a shirt while they're washing their clothes. They get arrested, yelled at, harassed. I have 127 shirts. They wouldn't have to wash their clothes for 4 months. And as a college kid, that's pretty appealing to me. But the fact remains, I do my laundry at least once a month. So 3/4 of these shirts I wear almost never. As the Bible says, all 127 of these shirts are not mine. They are things that God provided to me so that I can provide them to other people. Maybe it's not shirts. Maybe it's clean bed sheets. Maybe it's a pillow that doesn't smell like mold. Simple things like that can make people's lives that much better and help lead them to Christ. An example, I was visiting some family, some of Mackenzie's family. Finally got to meet her older sister and her wonderful children. I love them. And we were at a thrift shop, and I saw a unicycle for $25. I was like, that's so cool. I could ride that around campus. I don't know how to ride a unicycle. I've never even seen a unicycle except on, like, circuses and TV shows. What am I going to do with the unicycle? It's going to sit in my garage, and I'm never going to use that. You know how I could use that $25? I could buy about 23 McChickens and go to the nearest homeless camp and say, who's hungry? Instead, I almost bought a unicycle. We're so busy taking care of number one, but God will provide for number one. In the Bible, it says, God feeds the beasts of the air, and God clothes the lilies of the field. So will he not more so feed and clothe us, humans, not just Christians, humans, his most beloved creation? We don't have to worry about number one because we've got God on our side. He is worrying about us, so we need to worry about everyone else. We have so much more than we need, in my opinion. We have tables that we keep outside just in case we ever want to eat outdoors. We have camping equipment that we haven't used for 20 years, and we think, well, we'll have a family camping outing eventually, so gotta save this 7 sleeping bags and 4 tents. We have workout machines that, let's be honest, none of us are going to use them. I know I'm not. I'd rather just go for a walk with my dog. All of this stuff, stuff that we've bought, stuff that we've saved, is stuff that can go to use helping people, whether it be selling it and giving the money to the poor, as Jesus told the rich man to do, or taking those clothes that I have and giving them to someone who actually needs them. So going back to the book 7 for a little bit, another month that really impressed me was the month where she decided to try and give away 7 of her belongings every day for a whole month. And a lot of you guys are like, whoa, John, that's a lot. That's at least 280 belongings right there. I don't know if I can give away that many. Her first day, the first day she did this, she gave away 200 separate objects. Some of them were clothes, some of them were linens. And she kept up with it for the whole month. And afterwards, she realized she still had stuff that she didn't need. She still had clothes, extra bed sheets, tables, jewelry that she was never going to wear that could bring joy to a woman who has none of her own. Stuff that we don't need. Stuff that can help the poor, to bring light into their lives and help bring them towards Christ. So what's my point? There's got to be a point, right? If you hear this and you're like, I want to sell all of my stuff now and go be Mother Teresa. Awesome. If you feel the call to do that, do that. I feel like most of you are probably not feeling that call right now. So here's what I'm going to tell you guys. 2 things. 1, watch where you spend your money. Do you need that new dress? Because I think you look beautiful in the one you already have. Do you need that 4th TV? Because the other 3, they still work. Do you need that new video game? Because let's be honest, the reviews aren't that good, and the old games are more fun anyways. Spending money, leaving food to spoil in our cabinets, squandering and hoarding these possessions. My room is so crowded that I can barely walk around in it. Why do I need all that stuff? So take a look at the things that you do have. This is point 2. And think to yourself, what don't I need? What junk am I keeping around my house? This storage container that I've rented because I have too much stuff. This corner of the basement that we don't like to look at because it's so cluttered. What stuff do you not need? What stuff are you never going to use? And who really needs that stuff. Because I guarantee you, there's someone out there who needs that closet full of clothes that you never open up. There's somebody out there that needs those extra linens and those extra pillows that we have stored away just in case. There's somebody out there that needs a roof to get out of the shelter or out of the weather. There's somebody out there that needs that food that's going to spoil. Now, I know it can be hard to find people in need sometimes, especially depending on where you live. So here is my challenge to you guys. I'm not going to make you do 7 things a day for an entire month because, well, that's asking a lot, and you probably won't do it if I tell you to do that. Here's my challenge to you. 1 item a day for only a week. Find a new home for it, whether it be the Center for Lay Ministries, whether it be Exit Zero. And if you can't find a home for it at all, you can bring it here. I didn't tell Jim we're doing this, so he'll be surprised if you show up with toasters and boxes of clothes next week, but do it. We have rooms downstairs that we can keep it in. We, as a church, can find those people who need that stuff, who need those clothes, who need food. So that's my challenge to you. Just 1 item a day for only 1 week. That's just 7 things. I guarantee you, if you take a hard look at what you own, you'll realize that there's just too much of it. So, my question to you, are you going to fit through the eye of the needle? Sounds pretty tight, especially for a big camel like myself. But the most important part of that verse is that through Christ, all of us are going to get through. Let's pray. Dear God,